This hour of the Jason Rancho brought to you by MM Comfort Systems. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
There's no doubt that hate crimes happen in Washington State and around the country. We've been having this narrative that tells us anti-Asian hate crimes are surging. And every single time someone who happens to be Asian American is the victim of a crime, we automatically are told that this is yet another example of an anti-Asian hate crime. And that creates a lot of victims. And we're going to push back against that because I don't want people fearing, wandering down the street thinking that just going on a walk because they happen to be Asian, they're going to be attacked. I don't want to create that kind of society. But I will call out the hate crimes when they happen. We're just not going to do it in the way that some folks in the media and certainly Democrats who are activists who are in power want us to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it the way they do. I'll be honest about what's going on because we are having them happen. And a lot of them, let's use their language, disproportionately are being committed by black men. I have no reason to understand why that's happening. No clue why that's happening. No clue whatsoever. But it is happening. You're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to discuss the race of the suspect. Of course, obviously, if they're white, you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do that multiple times. In fact, you're supposed to lead. White man attacks Asian person. That is supposed to be the narrative that you spread. But when we have someone who happens to be African American, we're supposed to keep that a secret somehow. I'm not going to keep it a secret. I'm going to say that. And I'm going to talk about one specific case against a suspect. His name is Christopher Hamner. He's accused of two separate hate crimes against Asian Americans, including one in Seattle, where he threatened Pamela Cole, who is Asian, and her young kids. They were just in a car. They were just driving by. And he did this.
He just opens his door and starts, you know, yelling at me, you know, F you Asian B, F you kind of thing. And then, you know, he pulls into the parking lot and comes charging at us.
He did something similar, at least on the threat side, to two other women just days later, according to the Seattle Police Department. But what's interesting in this case is not necessarily that he's black, although, again, this goes to, I believe there have been 11 cases in King County, and I believe six of them have been allegedly committed by people who are black, and a lot of them also have been the accused are homeless, which is another aspect to this that isn't really getting a lot of attention. We'll talk about it a little bit later on, that aspect. In this case, turns out this dude is a BLM activist. Now, we briefly talked about it last week. I didn't dive too much into it, mostly because I couldn't confirm whether or not the social media posts that I found actually belonged to him. We are not a well-resourced show. We don't have multiple resources at our disposal. I keep trying to get rid of my producer so I can, you know, get some tools here. And they said, what tools can you get for $30 a month? And I said, fair point. So we decided to keep Peyton.
You should fire your producer anyway.
I'm thinking about it. But frankly, with all of the whole anti-Asian narratives going along, you would sue me in a heartbeat.
Oh, I would sell you out so quick.
You would lie.
I'd go to the stranger and say, I got a story for you.
This guy is a BLM activist. You go to his Facebook page, it is filled with posts, not just promoting BLM-type stories and narratives, but screaming about racism. And yet he's the guy who was accused in this case. Como TV ends up talking to some activists and organizers locally within the movement, and they say, yeah, we know this guy. We recognize him. He's not recognized for the right reasons. He hasn't really contributed all that much, except for apparently, quote, creepy stares. And, quote, to come out of left field.
That's the kind of guy I want on my side.
You know, if you're going to, like, hide in plain sight kind of thing, don't do the whole creepy stares because they remember. That's what gets them to remember you.
Noted.
Just, you know, I'm just saying.
So you're saying I should stop staring at people in the office?
You should definitely stop staring at me because it's making me really uncomfortable. So this is a guy who is living a life of contradiction, assuming that these allegations are true. Not really a lot of people talking about it. It took Cuomo, what, a week to get to this? Now, I'm not giving them a hard time for it. Kudos to them for doing the work and actually getting it out there. But I was able to find it really, really quickly. And granted, we didn't spend that much time on it because I am but one person. That's an entire organization. And they're not spending all that much time, generally speaking, in Seattle on this topic. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's just Cuomo, which is supposedly the other conservative outlet? It's bizarre that we didn't get anything from King 5. Well, that's not bizarre. They're the worst. But what about Cairo and Q3? I'm assuming that we'll get something soon. Not from Seattle Times, because that's absurd.
No, never.
I mean, come on. Please. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
So there's some businesses and governments that are considering a vaccine passport as a requirement to use their services, to enter their buildings. This passport, we put in air quotes, would prove that you've been vaccinated against the coronavirus. Now, Republicans are getting in the way and saying, whoa, 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 slow your roll. We don't like this. But so, too, are both Democrats and medical experts who probably are also Democrats. They're doing it, however, for completely different reasons. And it's quite interesting to me that we find ourselves on the same side, generally speaking, on this one particular issue, but for completely different reasons. So first, let's talk about what a vaccine passport is. All we mean when we say vaccine passports, or when they say it, is some form of showing paperwork, digitally or literally a piece of paper, that proves you have been vaccinated. You've received your vaccination shots. And as a result of that, you're able to enjoy whatever business or, you know, entry to a building that required them or a service that were really going onto a plane. We've heard the conversations about having vaccine passports because we don't want you spreading COVID globally. Okay, fine. Intellectually, I understand it, right? I get it. Disagree with it. I said the other day, I guess if I were to if I had the opportunity to voluntarily do it, I suppose I would voluntarily, so long as I can choose when or where I would use it. I don't have a problem. Where I have a problem is if it is compelled, because obviously, and the Republican argument against this, against vaccine passports, is there are civil liberty arguments, right? This is about our freedom. You have the right to choose not to get a vaccine. You have the right to choose not to tell people if you received a vaccine. You have that right. You get to do that. That is on you. And by the way, if we're talking about going into a government building, the government doesn't get to decide who has or does not have access to things that we paid for with our tax dollars. So that's what Republicans are arguing. Jim Walsh, a state representative from Aberdeen, is going to be on the show about 5:30 to talk about it from his perspective. But what we're hearing now on the left, coming from both progressive activists and politicians, but also medical experts, is a different argument. What is 2021's word of the year?
Equity.
Equity. You got to do it with like an equity.
Equity.
They're saying that this brings up equity concerns. Now, their argument is actually kind of weak, the way that they're doing it, at least. Speaking of King 5, the worst. Nancy Jecker is a UW Medicine bioethicist. She says the passports could reinforce inequalities in addition to impeding on personal freedom, so at least we agree with half of it.
We're requiring vaccines to do all kinds of things. Is our system for getting vaccines fair?
Yes.
And I think it's well, you know, established that it's not.
Oh, it's well established that it's not? Who established that? I know some bad faith activists have made that claim, but stop this nonsense of, oh no, it's well established that it's not fair. Why isn't it fair? The system itself isn't fair. Is that what we're okay. I mean, Nancy says it. She doesn't explain why. She just says, oh, no, we've established that it is.
I think vaccine passports are not the way to go. And they pose a risk to public health, potentially, if they create a false sense of protection. People start to take off their masks and mingle.
I hope that that's not your argument, that... I hope the argument is not going to be against vaccine passports. Oh, because, well, just because you have a vaccine passport, you might think that you can take off your mask. No, you got to wear your mask forever. Is that the argument? Can we just stick with the one that I think most people would generally understand, which is you can't, the government can't force you to take medicine. Just use that. That is a bit, I know it is overly simple. It's not medicine. It's overly simplistic. I get it. But everyone would understand it. Because it's overly simplistic. Yeah, even a Democrat could
figure
that
out. Very easily, they would understand it from the get-go.
The government can't force you to take medicine. It's that simple. Let's just go with that and move on. The equity arguments don't make sense. Even though I know you think by saying equity, all the Democrats are going to get on board. But you're going to push the Republicans away by saying, oh, no, because you still have to wear your mask forever and ever and ever. So what are we going to do? Stop it. That is not a good argument. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. I'll be on Fox News Primetime later today if you want to watch the video of that. I'll have it posted on our YouTube channel, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. Just text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll go ahead and send you a link. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The Biden administration.
So President Joe Biden announced today some executive actions on guns, plus some of the legislative proposals that he wants to get behind. He claims that this is not infringing on our Second Amendment rights.
Nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment.
Literally everything impinges on the Second Amendment. You are talking about gun rights, correct? Are you talking about guns or not? He is going to talk about guns, right?
Yes, he's going to talk about guns.
That's in the Second Amendment?
That is the Second Amendment,
so
yes.
Literally everything he's about to say impinges on the Second Amendment.
Indeed.
In some way.
Yes.
Okay. You could say that it impacts the Second Amendment, but doesn't go too far. It is a constitutionally free impinge. Don't tell me that it has no impact whatsoever on the Second Amendment. That is, of course, a lie.
They're phony arguments suggesting that these are Second Amendment rights at stake from what we're talking about.
No Second Amendment rights at stake here whatsoever.
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
None of your constitutional rights are absolute, except when Republicans say we support voter ID laws. Then that goes too far. You have the right to the quickest and freest way possible to vote. No one should impede that right to vote. And also abortion. No one should get in the way of abortion access. Not even a little bit. You do not have the right to impede any of that because that's a constitutional right. Guns, we don't like them, so okay.
You can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater.
People should Google that because he doesn't know what he's talking about. He is misusing that term like so many others. And by the way, I have shouted crowd in a theater that's on fire, and nothing happened.
It didn't help.
Did they all sat there, and they were just confused. Like, the building's on... Yeah. Do we not lead? I was like, crowd!
Yes, we are a crowd. Thank you.
It was like, but the building's on fire. I go, I know! Crowd! And they were just confused, and they all burned alive. It was tragic.
But you got out.
Freedom
I got
of speech. Out. From the very beginning, you couldn't own any weapon you wanted to own. From the very beginning of the Second Amendment existed, certain people weren't allowed to have weapons.
No.
So the idea is just bizarre to suggest that some of the things we're recommending are contrary to the Constitution.
Nothing is contrary to the Constitution when a Democrat proposes it. Of course, except he wants to ban assault weapons, which does not mean anything. I don't know what an assault weapon is, which is weird because that's all that Joe Biden and I have in common. We don't know what assault weapons are. The difference is, I don't know what they are because it's a made-up term. It doesn't actually mean anything. He doesn't know what they are, so he just uses assault weapons. What he means is scary-looking gun. I'm glad he didn't say weapon of war, which are already banned for our use. We cannot use weapons of war. What about the AR-15? Yeah, that's not a weapon of war. It's not used in war. Tell me a weapon that is not a quote-unquote assault weapon. Because the way that they define assault weapon isn't just scary, but a weapon that is quote-unquote designed to kill. Well, first of all, then all hunting weapons would be banned, because those are technically then by their designed to kill animals.
Weapon of war.
Against... This isn't Chronicles of Narnia. I mean, it's just...
You never know what you're living in, Jason.
Yeah, that's fair. Could be Jumanji. They used the gun. It was a long gun, though. It was definitely not an automatic. They want to ban high-capacity magazines, which basically means everything. Tell me a number. Tell me the capacity in which a Democrat who's arguing one death is one death too many, tell me that number that they would find acceptable. It doesn't mean anything. They want to get rid of the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, the PLCAA. This is a law that protects gun makers, gun manufacturers, from being sued for crimes committed with the guns that they legally sell. This would be the equivalent of me jumping in a Subaru, running over Peyton, which I've never dreamt of at all, I swear, and then Peyton suing not me, but Subaru. Arguing that I used the Subaru to run him over. It was meant to run people over.
As I should. I should attack Subaru, right?
It is so ludicrous. It is so ludicrous. And then he said this.
These bills, one, require background checks for anyone purchasing a gun at a gun show or an online sale. Most people don't know it. You walk into a store and you buy a gun, you have a background check. But you go to a gun show, you can buy whatever you want and no background check.
What? What in the world is he talking about? That is not true. That is not true. He is lying. If you are a federally licensed vendor, you have to conduct background checks, whether or not you're doing it at a gun show or at your own shop. Doesn't matter where you're doing it. Now, what I think he means is an individual. Now, let's say I sell Peyton a gun.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not going to sell you anything because you're not good for it. But let's just assume for a moment I was going to sell you a gun. I wouldn't have to go through, he's talking about us not going through a background check. Now, I suppose we can go do it at some gun shops. It depends on where you are, and it just depends on the organization behind the gun shop. Then say that. But the reason he doesn't do that, and the reason why it's so important to point out this very clear falsehood and make this distinction, is because nonsense claims like what he just did is used to demonize gun shows. And that fear of gun shows, that irrational fear of gun shows, is then used to further legislation to ban them or restrict them, or is used to go after all guns everywhere. That is how this all works. It is absolutely ludicrous. But, of course, it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. It's all good. Thumbs up. Oh, okay. 1-800-465-8770. Keep those text messages coming. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Live on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. There are a lot of people who right now are listening to my voice who are not going to be happy with the direction that the Department of Health may take the state in. Pierce County health officials, for example, say their COVID numbers are moving in the wrong direction.
You know, the problem is that we've seen cases increase in Pierce County over the last few weeks.
That's Nigel Turner with Tacoma Pierce County Health Department. And he told our sister station, Cairo Radio, that the county will likely move back into phase number 2, which means more restrictions as of next week, because they're not meeting the state standard for the two metrics that they're looking at to determine which phase the county's going to be in.
More people are getting out and about and having contact without masks. And we know when this happens that disease transmission happens.
So it topped the 200 case per 100,000 people limit for new cases over 2 weeks. On top of that, we've got hospitalizations over the 5 per 100,000 threshold.
This is a pandemic that moves in waves. You know, hopefully this is a wave that, or this increase is short-lived. We can bring it down, but it doesn't happen just in a day.
It doesn't happen just in a day. It's important to understand that deaths are not going up. It's important to understand that the people, for the most part, who are getting sick, who are responsible for these numbers, are the folks in the demographic that are least impacted by COVID. It's important to say that. No, that doesn't mean we want to kill grandma with COVID. Similar things are happening in Skagit County, where their health officer, Dr. Howard LeBrand, blames Easter as the reason that Skagit County possibly, maybe even probably, gets set back to phase number two.
Easter, obviously, we haven't seen the result of that yet, but every single time during this pandemic that there's been a family holiday, the rates have gone up. So I would suspect that we'll see some problem with that.
And when King 5 asks if he thinks that they're going to return to King 5, to phase number two, whether they think that it's going to be inevitable, he says,
well, if the trends continue, yes.
So then, yes. This is bad news for so many people. Snohomish County may not be spared. King County's not going to be spared. So if you're a business owner who's finally seeing some promise for your financial future, for your business's future, you're in a really tough spot. Steve Sewell is in a tough spot. He owns the Lunchbox Diner in Mount Vernon. He spoke to King 5. He said this is the first time in a long time he's felt hopeful about his business surviving.
Fantastic. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better time to open up.
And yet, he may have to close down or at least cut back to 25% occupancy from the current 50% occupancy. But this is not a good time for him. This is the last chance he thinks he has at keeping his business afloat.
And to be able to open back up and run is the only way I'm going to survive. If I have to cut back down now to 25% or shut down completely, I'm not going to make it.
He won't make it. He won't make it. And there are a lot of other businesses just like that. Teresa Argeris is another business owner. She's out in Tacoma. And she spoke to Q13 News. She says going backwards is obviously going to hurt her business.
It's a threatening idea to be moving backwards. If we have to move back to phase two or phase one, that's going to be really detrimental to us.
I do not believe that it is tenable to move back. That's not to say that Inslee won't announce that we're moving back. That's not to say that the DOH won't say, yeah, no, it's time, sorry. It's tough. You're going to have to go back to phase number two. I certainly believe that they're willing to do that. But I don't think people are going to follow any of those rules. I think you're going to have businesses that will continue to stay open. I think you will have businesses that will push the 25% into maybe 45%, thinking that they're not going to get caught or just risking it because they're desperate. You have given them the taste of freedom. And I want you to think about the implications of that, by the way. That the government has given us a taste of freedom. How ridiculous that is, that concept. You've got businesses that have, for the longest time, been on the brink of total closure. Finally. Being able to see some light at the end of that tunnel. And they're not at all going to just quietly close their doors. That's not how it works anymore. The governor reopened the state. He created random metrics that don't really mean anything. He says 200, for example, for the cases per 100,000, right? Why isn't it 250? Why isn't it 220? Why isn't it 150? It is a random number. This was always supposed to be about deaths and overrunning hospitals. So if we're getting close to the hospital part, but the deaths are low, shouldn't we consider that context? Shouldn't we consider that context? Shouldn't we look at who's getting sick? And shouldn't we understand that simply looking at hospitalizations isn't always the right move either, because there are lots of therapies available, lots, that keep people out of hospitals that just aren't being used. They're not being used. We're too far gone. And beyond this, no matter what ends up happening with the businesses, the people aren't going to stop. The people are not going to stop. We are days away from opening the vaccinations up to everyone in the state. We have people right now, for example, in Seattle, already getting their appointments for when it's open. We've got schools getting ready to reopen. It's too far gone. Let's see, by the way, if any school union, teachers union, uses this to try to keep schools closed. Jason tells the future at 3:38 and 57 seconds on April 8th. Watch the Seattle Public School Union, the teachers union, come out and say, well, you know, the governor just moved us back into phase two. We got to renegotiate. Also, we'd like a raise. Watch that happen. Oh, 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rantz Show on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll be on the Fox News primetime show coming up today with Mark Stein talking about my Village Theater toxic whiteness nonsense later today. If you want to watch that video, just head on over to our YouTube page or our Twitter, Facebook, wherever it is you go. We'll have the video posted within the next hour and a half or so. Just text the keyword Rantz, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. You know, we find ourselves in a really interesting spot as Republicans, I think. We're still having these conversations about what's going on in Georgia. And the fact of the matter is, the left, folks on the left, are flatly lying about what is in this Georgia bill, the voting bill. They're just flatly lying. And it's not just folks who are Democrats and the activists within the movement, it's also members of the media. But of course, it's coming from the top. You've got H.R. 1, which Democrats are trying to push, which would nationalize elections and would make it easier for the people who shouldn't be voting to vote, would institute policies that give a leg up to the Democrats. Now, they want to pretend otherwise, but that is a fact. Go ahead and look at H.R. 1. And in Georgia, they're trying to make it so that it's harder to vote illegally. Now, you can argue against parts of the bill, and I've been pretty open about that. I don't necessarily agree with 100% of the bill. I don't. Lots of Republicans may not. But that we're hearing at the top from Joe Biden over and over and over again, not just a lie about aspects of this bill, but calling it Jim Crow on steroids, and we hear it over and over and over again from political hacks and partisans. The intent here is to demonize Republicans, and I do think it's going to hurt the Democratic Party in the midterm election. And I think that there are some elements within the Democratic Party who realize that, and maybe that's why they're fighting to push H.R. 1, this national voting law, and try to stop any reasonable voting laws to be passed by Republicans or even Democrats. They know that they've gone so far to the left that they need to change the system in order to have any chance in the world of maintaining power. And of course, they're also setting up the inevitability. When the Democrats lose any election, whether or not they lose the House and the Senate, let's just assume for a moment that doesn't happen and it's just one House seat that they lost, they'll blame Republicans. They'll say that, and we still hear this now, the only way Republicans win is when they steal an election. Why don't we then steal every election? Why is it that we have Joe Biden in office if the only way we win is when we steal? Oh, you fought us this time. You caught us. Okay. Uh-huh. It's just so stupid. So Brian Kemp, of course, is the governor of Georgia, and he's doing his best. He's going to run for re-election. He's doing his best to push back against these lies. He was on Fox Business.
President Biden's lying to the American people and to our own citizens here in Georgia. I just laugh to myself, Maria, when he's talking about we need to smarten up. I mean, look at his own state of Delaware. They actually call your name out before you go vote in the precinct so people could challenge you. Could you imagine if we had that in our law? I mean, the world would be falling apart right now. He needs to focus on his own state and not worry about Georgia. This bill makes it easy to vote and hard to cheat. We're doing away with the signature match process and implementing voter ID on absentee ballots. We're securing ballot drop boxes that were never in the law before this year. We're making elections officials count continuously until every vote is counted so you don't have disruptions that brings doubt. And, you know, it's just good common sense, election security, making it easy to vote but hard to cheat.
That seems like a good goal. And yet, Brian Kemp isn't just pushing back against partisan hacks in office. He's doing the same against media members. Eugene Daniels, for example, is the co-author of the Politico Playbook. It's kind of an inside newsletter, but obviously others read it. And he was on MSNBC. And, you know, he's there to push back against some of the lines, including that Brian Kemp just gave, that it's not true that Democratic-controlled states have more restrictive voting laws than Georgia. It's absolutely true, but let's listen to Eugene Daniels.
As per usual with politics, it's not as easy as the side wants it to be. In defending the part of the Georgia law that would prevent people from getting food and water, they pointed to Delaware.
Okay, so just real quick. The law in Georgia does not prevent anyone from getting food and water. It is very specific. It says that random people can't provide it. And we've had these conversations in the past that you can set it up. The workers, the poll workers, can and do and likely will set it up.
I mean, kind of a similar law. It does not. That section of the state's law is specifically tied to bribery. It doesn't even mention food or water.
Now, real quick, he just mentions that this other law in New York, and there are other laws that are similar to this. It's in the section about bribery. So is the Georgia section. The context of the part of the Georgia bill that is specific to the food and water is very clearly tied to bribery. It is in the actual section. That's why it talks about literally not bribing people to vote. So right then and there, he's also not just being disingenuous about his interpretation of all this. He's leaving stuff out. That's a lie by omission.
New York does have a clause about people not handing out food and drinks near polling places. But the caveat is that it can happen if it's of little value. So less than $1, which water certainly falls under. They also point.
Oh, and by the way, where is he buying water? Because here, good luck finding a bottle of water that's under a dollar.
Point to Colorado, a state where I went to college and worked in for 3 years, as having voter ID laws. But Colorado has been looked at as the gold standard, giving more access, boosting turnout by both Democrats and Republicans for years. They have a universal vote by mail system.
So then real quick, so voter ID laws are okay then? If Colorado is the gold standard and they have voter ID laws, then what's the problem with voter ID laws? Because the left tells me that voter ID laws are racist. So why is it that in Colorado it's not racist and it's considered the gold standard? And by the way, it's not considered the gold standard in Colorado. The only people who consider it the gold standard are the people who like it on the left, because it automatically sends out a ballot to everybody who's registered. Every single person, you just get a ballot. You don't have to proactively register for one. You just get it. But oh yeah, every it's the gold standard. Okay, fine. Let's go with that. It's the gold standard. It has voter ID. So what's the argument against voter ID when the gold standard from the Democratic perspective and the media's perspective is Colorado? It is totally nonsense what it is they're doing. Which is why Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas, is calling it on Fox News.
I got some shocking, in fact, terrible news for all of your viewers, especially for all the social justice warriors at Major League Baseball. Colorado appears to require photo identification to vote in person. And as you just heard from Steve, yes, Colorado also has fewer days of in-person voting than Georgia. So I guess if Joe Biden and Stacey Abrams think that Georgia is Jim Crow 2.0, then maybe Colorado is Jim Crow 3.0. Or perhaps Delaware is Jim Crow 3.0 or 4.0. I'm losing count here, the Democrats' slanderous claims against our states, since they don't have any early voting. Yep. And they have many fewer drop boxes than Georgia does.
He's 100% correct, and anyone who tells you otherwise is lying to you. They are lying to you, or how about this? I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They're stupid. They're ignorant. They don't know what it is they're talking about. They didn't actually do any of the research before they decided to jump on a talking point that they heard someone else from the Democratic Party spew. It is dangerous what it is they're doing, and I do think that the Democrats are going to pay a political price for this. But unfortunately, so does the country. Because the crazy people who believe this Jim Crow nonsense, they're not going to change their mind. They will not change their mind. At all. So understand that. This is insanity to me. 1-800-465-8777. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text message. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.